It's the first day of the morning show here on the Ideas Network, and WPR Director Mike Crane is here with us on the first day of this transition time following the retirement of Joy Cardine on Friday. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, your interim host. We'll be discussing programming right now out of the gate on this special edition of Mondays with Mike. Mike Crane, how does this sound? Welcome to the morning show.
It sounds great. It's good to have you here. It was very strange, though, to realize that Joy had actually stopped coming into work as of Friday.
Yeah, host emeritus. It just doesn't seem like, and even when I saw her post on Facebook over the weekend and obviously already on the road traveling, I said, oh, no, she's not coming in.
She's ready to relax with Rob and have a great time.
So how are you approaching the morning drive programming? Where do we stand here at WPR?
Just abject panic, right? No. We've been preparing for such a time for quite a while. And in fact, the reason that you could step in so readily was that among our plans was having a regular substitute host. At first, we called you like a swing host. And as you well know, but listeners to the Ideas Network might not, Kate has also hosted Morning Edition and All Things Considered on the other network, and so really able to handle a variety of situations. So that's the immediate, is that there's someone who can step in right away and do a great job. In the longer run, we will be posting a position, maybe two. We're talking about that now, but we haven't figured that out exactly. But the basic idea is to have another Wisconsin-based call-in show in the morning, and then even during the next couple of months, I think probably you and the producers will want to play with a couple of concepts and things like that, which should be kind of neat. And then we'll see where it takes us. But our hope is to have a new host in place sometime in the first quarter of 2018.
Well, let's move to the afternoons now because of Kathleen Dunn's retirement in August, and we have 1A in that slot. What's going on in the afternoon?
So people who've listened to the Mondays with Mike call-in have recognized that I tend to say, and this is true again, that we make decisions about program change very thoughtfully, and we had actually been looking at 1A for a while and listening to it, and we're very impressed with it, listening to it via streaming from other stations, that sort of thing. And when Kathleen gave us a pretty quick notice of her departure, we thought, well, let's try that out. And we had also learned from our colleagues around the country that 1A was doing very well with audiences. Some will know that it was the replacement for the Diane Rehm show, which people right here on Mondays with Mike would ask us about all the time. Why can't you carry that? And we never did get around to it. But 1A was doing even better than Diane Rehm was in the ratings and response from listeners. So we thought we'd give it a try. Hearing the natural reactions, good and bad, but generally pretty good about how 1A is going.
Let's take a call now. Chris in Columbus. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I got to say that I've been a morning WPR listener for 20-plus years, and while I understand change is natural, I'm actually not a fan of 1A. Wisconsin Public Radio already has a number of national public radio broadcast on point, for example. And I think we lost part of our local heritage with 1A, and it doesn't actually focus on, First Amendment issues as it purports. So whatever programming change is made, I would say that I would like it to be balanced. I do agree with the previous caller that said that WPR does tend to advocate for liberal policies, but I would like to most of all keep it local.
Go ahead, Mike.
All right. Well, thanks, Chris, for the call. We definitely will make the morning show local and Wisconsin-based, and we'll see about the afternoons. We still have Central Time, of course, and the Larry Mueller Show, and basically, part of what we have to try to decide all the time is, with the resources we have, how can we manage to provide the best possible program service? And some people who were aware of Kathleen's producers maybe even knew that they were around. They're still around, and they're contributing to other shows at the moment.
And the whole digital sphere.
That's right. They were hired as what we call multimedia producers, and they're really helping the other shows to do more with online and with WPR.org and so on. So we're thrilled that they can help. That's just an experiment for the moment while we're figuring things out. But thanks, Chris, for that comment. And for the morning show, for sure, it'll be local and Wisconsin-based.
And lots of listening going on. Meanwhile, as you listen across the country, listen across, you know, what other stations are doing, what other programming is out there.
Yeah, that's right. One of the things that Mike Arnold, who you sometimes hear in this slot, was doing for me the other day was playing some recordings he'd made of other stations and what they're doing in terms of their general sound. Now, we wouldn't change from the basic format of call-in shows, but there are lots of ways to approach anything that you do. And so it was interesting to hear some things even were things that he was like, well, we won't do this. and that's part of the listening activity as well.
And we'd like to hear your thoughts. What do you want to hear out of the morning show or out of the programming in general on WPR? You have an ear here with Mike Crane, director in the morning here on a special Mondays with Mike edition. He alternates with Central Time in the afternoon. And on this first transition day of the morning show, he's here joining us, 800-642-1234, with your thoughts. You can send an email to ideas@WPR, post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. What would you like to hear in terms of programming here in the morning show? Are there guests or topics or how it is structured? Do you want more callers, fewer callers? We really need to know these things as we look ahead. Is that right, Mike?
That's right. The better sense we have of what people are thinking, the easier, if such a thing can be easy, that it can be to figure out what's next on any basis, not just because right now we're looking for a morning host.
Let's go to Jim in Wilson. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi. I couldn't agree more with your last caller. The morning show is great. I drive dump truck locally in the Appleton area. So I start listening about 5 a.m. in the morning. And the morning shows, everything goes really great all the way through. Great Larry Mueller and 12:30, you know, chapter of the day. And it seems like after 1 o'clock, we lose it. We really are Wisconsin public radio, not national public radio. You know, we get into redundancy of the news nationally. You know, we should be more homegrown and focused on what really is happening in our backyard, I think.
So Jim wants it homegrown, Mike.
Understood, and we will continue to do a lot of that. And Jim, thanks for the thought. One of the things you said has actually been, I'd say, a tension might be the right word, but certainly a competition throughout our history, which is, yes, we're absolutely Wisconsin public radio, but public radio generally has always been about both reflecting communities back to themselves, but also bringing in the national and even international perspectives and ideas and so on. And I'd say even in terms of the topics we choose on any show that we're doing locally, if we only focused on something that was directly from Wisconsin, that would probably take it too far. And I bet most people would agree with that because sometimes it's more like a Wisconsin perspective on something national. And in fact,
Through the lens,
that's right. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I know that when we added the live broadcast of On Point, suddenly we heard a lot of Wisconsin calls on the show.
Yes, we did, yes.
And I think that's in part because our callers are awesome.
Yeah.
And they know how to be on the radio in many cases. And Tom Ashbrook gets very excited to be here. He was here in Milwaukee a couple of months ago and had a really great time, as did our audience present with him at the Latino Arts Center. And then we had a station-sponsored trip that went to New England and to parts of Canada, and Tom visited with our guests then and, again, had a great time with us and sung the praises of Wisconsin. Thanks, Jim, for that call.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll talk more about programming changes here in a moment, but we just wrapped up this big fall pledge drive over the weekend. Can you give us some totals?
Yeah, we had more than 4,000 people make pledges, just wow. Really awesome, including about a quarter of those brand new members to WPR, which is awesome. One of the reasons we hold the pledge drives, even though we use other methods of fundraising, is to find those new members. And it still feels like the most effective way to find new members. And there's an updated total. I just checked the final tallies this morning. And our goal for dollars, which we don't talk about much on the air because we're really mostly concerned with participation, but our internal goal for dollars was $650,000. And we were at just under $654,000. So just all around a great result. And we thank everyone that gives annually, those one-time gifts, the sustainers that give on an ongoing basis. Just terrific. Thanks for everyone who gave an additional gift.
And the energy, it was, you could just feel it every hour. There was so much energy. And I just love reading the comments that come in. Those are really so lovely.
Yeah. You know, after having done that, I think I've probably participated in easily 100 pledge drives in my career. One of the things that you start to notice after a while is how often the comments say something like, I couldn't live without, or I love Wisconsin Public Radio. And, you know, for those of us that have made this our life's work, that's incredibly gratifying because, among other things, we know how deeply you care about WPR. And because of the results of pledge drives like that, we know how you'll put your money where your mouth and your heart is. And so thank you so much to everybody who participated then and, of course, year-round, because we have more than 53,000 member families who participate in supporting WPR in a given year.
Well, speaking of the budget pie, the last time you were with us, which was several weeks ago, the Joint Finance Committee had approved the two-year state budget, but it hadn't been taken up by the full legislature. Lawmakers made a few tweaks. Governor Walker used his veto pen nearly 100 times, and now we're under a new budget. How is WPR going to be affected?
Well, it was about what we expected prior to those activities that you described, which is a basically flat budget, which is terrific news for us. We often say that flat is the new up, you know. And there's two parts to WPR. You always hear us say that we're a partnership of the University of Wisconsin Extension and the Educational Communications Board. So that's the university and our state agency. The state agency is actually what they call enumerated in the budget, and that was basically flat, cost to continue kind of stuff. And that's really great news because they take care of all of our transmission needs, both the stations themselves in almost all cases, and definitely the interconnect, what we call the BIC or the broadcast interconnect.
Yeah.
And that's one of their really main duties. And then on the university side, it's less clear exactly where the numbers will be because that takes a little while to trickle down. But again, the university seemed to do pretty well. And so we'll be watching that to see exactly where that settles out for us.
Let's take another call now. Randy in Madison. Go ahead, Randy.
Good morning. I think both your stations are practically miracles, and I think we're awfully lucky to have them. I've been in enough other states to compare. That said, I would like you to consider dropping Q, and I would really like you to consider dropping Ask Me Another, The only, I'm afraid I don't have any good suggestions on what to replace it with, though I do remember that As It Happens used to have a second hour. I don't know if it still does or not, but you might want to consider using that if they do. And lastly, having heard the, having heard innumerable pledge drives, I would still like, I wish that some of the usual guests would not take such a big hand in, for lack of a better word, shilling for the money. I think that's up to the host. I wish the guests would stick to the role that they're supposed to play, then they play the rest of the year.
Well, thanks for those thoughts, and I'll go backwards on that. First, on the pledge drives, one of the reasons that we have so many guests is that just the sheer volume of messaging that needs to be done and so on, I think would make it really challenging for the regular hosts to do all of that work. every so often we run into that problem if someone runs into the studio late or something like that. And I've been there in one or two of those pledge drives, and it's very tough. So that's why we do that. That said, we also know that the most powerful requests come from two sources. One is those listener testimonials that you hear, because that's sort of a peer-to-peer support. And the other definitely is the regular host that you really appreciate most. So in that sense, I definitely take to heart what you're saying. I will disagree with one thing, though, and I know why you said shilling, but honestly, what we really feel about our pledge drives is that they're worthy support of the really awesome stuff that happens on public radio. And so I'll have people say to me, Kate, don't you hate asking for money? And I say, you know, I just don't. I actually like it, because what it means is that we're finding people of like minds to try to do something together. And that is what we feel. Thanks also for the suggestions about Q and Ask Me Another. We don't have current plans to change, though. Ask Me Another, in fact, actually does very well for us. Q, we've just put it in a new schedule time, so I'm less clear on how that will go in the long run. And as it happens, when produced in Canada to this day, does have an extra half hour, but they do an edited version for distribution in the United States so that it comes down to an hour's worth of the program, and that's why it's that long.
Well, Randy, thank you so much with your suggestions and your questions. You can bounce your ideas off of Mike Crane or ask a specific question about WPR programming at 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas at WPR.org, post on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or on Twitter, find us at WPR Mornings. That's WPR Mornings. We'll be back after a short break here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to day one of the morning show as we make a transition following the retirement of Joy Cardine Friday. We're keeping the conversation going strong, as you might expect. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, joined by WPR Director Mike Crane on this special day. He's fielding your questions and comments, guiding us through the latest developments at WPR and what the future holds. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about Ideas Network programming changes, such as 1A or the BBC's Newsday? Did you get a chance to check out NPR's Bullseye yesterday morning? Join in, 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's hear from Ed in West Allis, who we were the recipients of cake from you, I believe. Ed, thank you so much last week.
Yeah, I hope you had a piece of cake.
I did. Go ahead.
Well, welcome to the fray.
Thank you.
It's our position in organized labor that we get real short shrift, 54 minutes a year with Bloomingdale or Phil Neuenfeld from the state Fed. We had this decision come down from Washoe with the appeals court sustaining the right to work law, 3-0 vote, hardly any coverage in the state. There is this intense hatred of working people, of union people in this state by Mr. Walker and his minions, Mr. Fitzgerald, Mr. Ross.
And I want to stop you there for a moment. How could you see WPR cover organized labor on the long term?
Well, you just have to do a show once every 2 months on labor issues. We're coming up to the 100th anniversary of the revolution in Russia this month. We need a show on that and the long-term effects that that had on the world, on John Reed, the American that's buried in the Kremlin. We need a total dissection of that opinion that was written by these three justices up in Warsaw. And to get the attorney from the labor side on NPR to explain how he went through these various stages. We had a favorable ruling from the judge in Madison, and then we went through this stage where we had an unfavorable ruling on right to work down at the Seventh Circuit, the Federal Seventh Circuit in Chicago.
And I'm going to jump in here, Ed. It sounds like Ed is really looking for a special series.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a special series, or, you know, I take to heart the idea of doing something once every 2 months. What I hear is just in general, Ed, that you'd like more understood. And, you know, it's very hard for me on the spot to go back to the lists and say, here's what we did or didn't cover.
Yeah.
But absolutely, the transition of our state, going back at least to Act 10, to now becoming a right-to-work state, which I know labor sees as something entirely different than right-to-work, we do cover that and will continue to. And, you know, I ask you and people on all sides to keep holding us to task if you don't feel we're doing enough, because that does help us to assess what's being noticed, what's being heard, and I really do appreciate that.
And Central Time is kicking off a new series this week on Native American life in Wisconsin. What can listeners expect to hear?
Well, among the things that we've been doing for a long time at Wisconsin Public Broadcasting is making sure that we understand that our First Peoples, as I've heard it referred to, are a big part of our state, and they, you know, they need to be covered with the respect and the importance that that is. And so we'll be looking at some different aspects of Native American life in Wisconsin, including things you'd expect because it's Wisconsin: education, health, politics, art. And this is a big deal for our Native Americans, is the role of veterans within the life of the different tribes. And you can find out more at WPR.org/first. That's the First Wisconsinites, is what we're calling it.
Yeah, and we should also mention that the recent documentary WPR reporter Bridget Bowden put together about the Madison Police Department, New in Blue?
New in Blue, and that's still online at WPR.org/Police Academy. It's been broadcast a couple of times. And Bridget spent about 6 months embedded with the class of recruits at the Madison Police Department, and it looks at the recruits, their training, and the people they'll be policing, and I think gives a nice broad picture of what our future police officers are like.
There's also a special series I listened to yesterday on the Ideas Network called Flyover from NPR News. Carrie Miller, the host there. What can we expect to hear in the future with Flyover?
Well, and I confess I missed that one because I was outdoors on the water at the time. but I have heard the show before,
yeah.
And it's unusual to have a live weekend call-in show.
Yeah,
you know, our call-in shows on the weekend are typically actually call-out shows like Dr. Zorba,
mm-hmm.
Where the calls have already been made, and then you pick them up over the course of that. So it's been very interesting to, you know, Flyover is a pretty obvious name, right? That very often we feel that the coasts are covered far more extensively. And, you know, we have a viewpoint here, too. And so that's the basic idea of the call-in show, looking at the changing American dream as it's lived and experiences in the cities and towns and rural areas beyond those media spotlights of New York and L.A.
Well, we have full phone lines right now. Let's get to them. Dylan in Janesville has been waiting. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, thank you. I would like to say more Sean Johnson in the morning. He's a wonderful reporter, and I was glad to hear he was going to be covering stuff in Washington this week. So
yep.
Thank you for that.
Great. Well, yes, he is. He is out in Washington as we speak, getting ready for the U.S. Supreme Court hearings. And we'll be talking with him tomorrow as well as Wednesday. And, you know, that's something special to be able to send a reporter to D.C. to do this.
Yeah, we've been really pleased that the money we've been able to raise to support public radio here in Wisconsin makes it possible for us to send him there, because that's the best way to cover that, is to have one of our absolute top reporters, our Statehouse Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, there at the Supreme Court to hear the arguments and then to bring his reflections back to us, including right here on the morning show. So we'll look forward to that.
And I heard through the grapevine he had like a 50-50 chance of getting the press credentials through NPR to get to inside the Supreme Court for the hearing. So
thank goodness he did.
He did, yes. Thanks, Dylan. Let's go to Joan in Milwaukee. Go ahead, Joan.
Good morning. I have been a listener since I was 6 years old on the radio School of the Air and have been a fan ever since. But I am a little disturbed because you are losing some of the people that do Wisconsin. Gene Peraca, Tom Clark, Kathleen Dunn. Kathleen Dunn delved into the issues in the afternoon, and you knew what was coming, and you knew that people would call in then. You looked forward to it. Central Time is fine, but it's a pig in a poke. You don't know what's coming, and it isn't something you tune it on, but and it's got interesting stuff, but it doesn't have the same follow through on it. Larry Mueller, you know what he's going to do, and you listen to him. But we have Wisconsin issues that are so important, and we are an important state. We are the progressives, and for example, we should be doing more for the public good, like Frank Seidler and Charlotte Bleistein, who died just recently. Socialists all their life, but people who were there to do public good. Mimi Notestein was a gal that you had as a producer in the afternoon show. She was wonderful.
And I'm going to have to stop you there, Joan.
Thanks,
go ahead,
Joan. Yeah, you know, this was something that you know, we've realized for a number of years because of their length of service that Kathleen Dunn might be going to do something else. And then she had this really great opportunity to raise a therapy dog, which is very close to her heart. And she's already doing that. And so we expected it in that sense. And the same with Joy. And we've had other people leave over the years. And I really do feel confident that we'll continue to find people who absolutely love this stayed. And, you know, I think of things we've added over the last few years, like the Wisconsin Life segments that are heard on Central Time and also on the News and Classical Network as part of that devotion we have to Wisconsin. And as a number of callers have said, this is Wisconsin Public Radio, and that's absolutely right. Tom Clark kind of lingers with Dr. Zorba, which is great.
Yep.
Some people who listened a long time ago might even remember for a little while the morning show here was called Clark, Cardine and Company because Joy was a newscaster and sometimes sidekick for Tom at that time. And so I have confidence that we'll be able to find someone who'll do a great job on that in the morning. On the factor of Central Time, one of the things that is certainly true is that there are more topics per hour, and I think that's kind of what Joan means about not knowing what to expect and not so much follow through. Well, here's the basic idea. There are an awful lot of topics that you could talk about on the Ideas Network, but that probably wouldn't hold up for an hour. Sometimes what happens is you discover, oh, we'd better do another show on that. And other times, you know, 15 minutes was really enough.
Really enough.
And it was a great 15 minutes, but that's all that the topic deserves. So that's the basic idea of why we did Central Time a little bit differently.
We have a couple comments here on Facebook. Gary from Iron River says the balance of WPR's Ideas Network personalities is shifting more female. It's obvious over the last several years. It seems like it must be with purpose. And superior station lead, and he goes on to list some other Capital News reporter, fill in for Larry Mueller, fill in for Central Time. The vast majority of the new producers or program staff that are specifically named and recognized typically at the end of the program seem to be female. So he's recognizing that.
I haven't done an exact count, but I would say yes, that's probably right. And long overdue in my mind. And the reason I say that is that I think that women and people of color as well, and I would add that, and really we want all kinds of viewpoints that are within WPR so that we can reflect the entire community back to itself. And in fact, we have an internship that's over the summer in Eau Claire that's specifically aimed at groups that are underrepresented in our field. And the fact that we seem to have a better balance at WPR is kind of thrilling because radio has been a very male business traditionally. And, I have one of those high tenor voices, but I remember when I started in radio, Not only were there not a lot of women, but there weren't a lot of people with tenor voices. You had those deep-voiced guys who talked, you know, and I can't even imitate that. I just don't have it in my voice. Certainly that seems to be something that reflects our efforts to recruit a different workforce than we once had. And there's so many great people working here at WPR. Part of why I said in my previous comments about having confidence in our future is that, even when we're doing things like our pilot programs under WPR Next, we end up sometimes discovering someone who we'd never thought of as having an on-air role because they're doing great production work. They're really great on the air too. Yep. And so I'm just really excited by that change, and I thank Gary for noticing it.
Well, where do we stand with WPR Next as you bring it up?
Well, we have been doing a couple of pilots, they're still on WPR.org/next if you'd like to give it a listen. And the schedule's a little too complicated to give it all out. We're going to have Entertain Us, which is a really fun one, is coming up this Saturday at 4 p.m. And again Sunday at 10 a.m. here on the Ideas Network. And then later this month, we're going to have another tryout of Beta, which Doug Gordon has created. And so we'll have all that schedule on WPR.org/next. And these are really fun ideas. They may or may not become regular programs. I'm thinking back to the earlier comment about Ask Me Another. We're trying to figure out things to replace stuff like, you know, some people have noticed already, Car Talk's no longer there, and we have Bullseye with Jesse Thorne. That's because, honestly, it took public radio generally a very long time, years, to start coming up with the new weekend shows that could replace Car Talk. As wonderful as it is, the last brand new production happened 5 years ago in 2012. So it's really important for us to develop new programs both locally and nationally.
Well, Clyde emails and says, I prefer to listen live as often as I can, but there are a few segments that I don't like to miss. It would be nice if WPR offered a separate podcast feed for segments like On Your Money, Garden Talk, or even Mondays with Mike, because Clyde says they can be found within the largest show feeds. It would make them easier to track down.
Well, that's just an order of magnitude challenge for us, Clyde. That's a really great point. We know it that, if we had the capacity to, not only would we have, I think Mondays with Mike deserves it, but thank you so much. But certainly Kevin McKinley on Your Money and so on do deserve that if we had the resources. But with 7 or 8 hours a day of new shows, and we're just spinning our wheels pretty fast. I'm very proud of the fact that we've been doing what we used to call on-demand listening or podcasts since the year 2000, way in advance of most. But getting to the point where we can properly divide those up by subject has been a challenge. It is on our mind, though, and we've been trying to think of some ways that we could do that more efficiently than we've found to do so far.
Well, if you have questions about WPR, whether it's the past 100 years or looking forward to the next 100 years, Director Mike Crane is here responding to your questions and feedback on this Mondays with Mike edition. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You can reach us at 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or join us on Twitter at WPR Mornings. We'll be back after a short break here on the Ideas Network. We're back with this special edition of Mondays with Mike on this first day of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with WPR Director Mike Crane, and you have his ear this hour, and he's happy to take your feedback on WPR. What do you want to hear more of or less of? Do you have a programming question, a centennial event question? Try them at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to Elaine in Colfax. Go ahead, Elaine.
I think that central time could be improved if when you ask for calls, you give it enough time for there to be several calls because the caller's voices and their direction they take, the ideas that you're discussing is always interesting to me. And when it's just one call, it seems kind of abrupt, and it's like a big setup for calls, and then there's one call. And I don't know if just one call came in. It's possible that people don't know that you don't take many calls, so not many people call in. And I think it would be much better if you just gave it more time. And I had one other comment about 1A, which I think is a very fine program, but the host always takes Facebook and just repeats questions himself. And I think the human voice is what gives radio its vitality. And for a host to just constantly refer to Facebook questions, it takes away the immediacy of the person's voice, even if it takes a little bit more time to put in a person's question, you know, themselves. Their emotion in their voice, their, you know, the way they say it, all that is different than the host would. So I wish that 1A would allow more of immediacy of the beauty of radio to come through.
Elaine, thanks so much for calling in.
Great thoughts. I can't speak to a specific instance with Central Time and the number of calls that come in, but certainly there are times. This doesn't seem to be one of them today, which is great. But we have had times on the Mondays with Mike segment where it's like, okay, are we going to get any more calls? So we always do have prepared those comments that come from Facebook and so on. And then usually the calls get going again. And you're right. With Central Time, it's a little harder to do that.
And it's a short window.
Yeah. And I'd say that's probably the hardest production challenge we wrestle with the show is which segment should have calls. How long should that segment be, and do we actually get the calls? So all of that's a factor.
At exactly the right time before you're up against that next post.
I'm sure, you know, we've had those times where I'm sitting here and seeing some typing going on in front of us from the call screener, desperately trying to get the information there soon enough for us to take it. And once in a while, we miss on that, and that does happen. And then thanks for the comments on 1A as well, and we're happy to share that information with Joshua and team because I'm sure he's feeling like using the Facebook comments and Twitter comments is immediate. And we certainly rely on them more and more simply because that's the way a lot of people prefer to communicate now. I don't know about you. I get a lot fewer voicemails than I ever used to get because people will just pop me an email or send me a Facebook Messenger thing.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you, Elaine. And, you know, here we are in October. October is here, and there's got to be a lot of centennial celebrations going on in October because this is the big year and the big month for it.
It is, and we have our big celebration coming up on Saturday, October 14th at the Overture Center in Madison. It's called The Power of Story. You've probably heard announcements about it, and Ari Shapiro is going to be here from NPR, and we have great Wisconsin guests of all kinds coming on, and just really looking forward to that. And that's because of our centennial 100 years of Wisconsin public broadcasting in the state that invented it, as we say. And then it's also coincidentally, but it's kind of a nice coincidence that not only has Larry Mueller celebrated 50 years of broadcasting on WPR, but the Corporation for Public Broadcasting was authorized in the Public Broadcasting Act of 1967. And that spawned modern public radio. Yeah. That's how NPR got started. It's also how PBS got started. And as it turns out, WPR people had a big hand in the formation of NPR. Bill Simmering, who's going to be one of our onstage guests, he was the person who wrote the purposes of NPR. And Bill was...
He created All Things Considered.
He did, with Jack Mitchell, with Jack who was Mitchell, one of my predecessors, and also someone from Wisconsin. And they're going to be here celebrating with us. Bill was an employee as a student at WHA, the predecessor station to WPR. So really
I also
looking forward
learned,
to it.
I also learned, thanks to Wikipedia, that he was at WHYY and was on the ground floor of creating Fresh Air with Terry Gross.
That's right. That's when I first
met
Bill. Yeah, he's had quite a lot of influence. And boy, we have some great guests on that centennial show, including Bill, Brian Reed, who's the creator and host of the podcast S-Town and works with This American Life. Dr. Jonathan Overby is going to be there, as are you, Kate. And Ann Strainchamps, the host of To the Best of Our Knowledge. Just some really great stuff. Lots more than I can push out here in just a few seconds, but I encourage everyone to check it out at wpr.org/100. I know we have more tickets left, and we'd love to have you there.
Let's go to Ed now in Indianapolis. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd just like to say that, you know, while I was slow getting to smartphones, the first app I put on my phone was WPR's app. And I grew up in Wisconsin, and what I'd like to see in your programming is more Wisconsin programming and less national programming, because Wisconsin WPR Ideas Network is such a strong voice for the state and tells us what Wisconsin is thinking versus the national programs, which, you know, I can get anywhere. But the Wisconsin app is very powerful for me.
Well, Ed, thanks so much for calling in.
Yeah, and this makes me think of several threads of what we've been talking about, because the app does have some capability to essentially use podcasts just by clicking on a particular episode of a show. And if we could figure out a way to atomize that even more to make things easier to find there, the Wisconsin content, we certainly will. So, Ed, thanks. And, you know, we do have, this is one of the glories of the internet, too. We have a lot of, I guess you'd call them expat Wisconsinites.
Yeah.
that, you know, a lot of people, for instance, who've retired to Arizona mm-hmm. or down there for spring training to see the Brewers play, they still listen to their WPR, and it's because of things like the WPR app.
Keeping us connected.
Thanks,
well,
Ed,
thank you for continuing to listen as well in Indianapolis. Let's go to Jane now in Milwaukee. Go ahead, Jane. Oh, are you there, Jane? Yeah, hello.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
Mike, I'd like to see more of a community services or community sources type show coming to WPR. And the reason I say that is I happen to particularly work with veterans, which in our state, it makes up 8 to 14% of the adult population in any given county. And of those, almost three quarters are over the age of 60. So they're not likely to do the internet. They're not likely to sit necessarily and watch TV all day. But they are out in the barn working and listening to the radio and things like that. But what I find working in the type social services type environment is that too many people wait till they're in desperate need of services instead of knowing what's out there beforehand to help mom pay for the assisted living or other services.
Well, Jane, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean about the waiting for services. It's longer ago than I often remember, but about 6 years ago, we did the LZ Lambeau event with veterans in Lambeau Field, an incredible, incredible experience for everyone involved. And one of the clearest things is that getting veterans together to connect with each other and then have what clearly is the courage to get help, because it is so hard to get help. It was one of the wonderful things about the event is, in addition to the ceremony and all that, there were opportunities, because we worked with veterans groups, to provide those opportunities for people to get counseling and other kinds of services that they needed. And so you mentioned veterans, Jane, but I know from the notes about your call that you're also encouraging us to think of community service things for other things. I know, for instance, one of the things we're very focused on throughout the state, but in particular in Milwaukee, because we've learned from the community how important it is we're focused on jobs. And so you'll hear public service announcements about job fair opportunities and so on. And we have an interest in those sorts of things throughout the state.
Well, speaking of jobs and programming, which takes resources, where are we at with some job postings here at WPR?
Well, you know, it's been in part because of prominent retirements, but also just because there's a lot of really great things going on at WPR that need people to help make them happen. We have a number of jobs open, and we're looking for a radio engineer. I know that job is still open. Looking for more applicants for our radio engineer. There's also a part-time technician for our radio operations center. They're the ones who actually are recording this show right now, and they'll process it to get it on the internet among their many duties. We're also looking for a media sales account executive to join our business sponsorship team. And you can find details on that and any openings, not only for WPR, but for WPT and other partner organizations at wpr.org/jobs.
All right, let's go to John now in De Pere. Go ahead, John.
Yes. This is probably the last contact I'm going to have with your station. I understand that you've taken off Car Talk and that it's really not available. You can't get it. They're not offering it.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether you begged them to put it back on, because I don't think you did.
Well, so John, great comment about Car Talk, and I'd say that not only did we beg them, but when one of the brothers died back in 2013 or so, there was talk of just letting the show go entirely, and station said, "Oh my God, what will we do without Car Talk?" Fortunately, for quite a while, they had a lot of stuff that we would have called in the old days on the cutting room floor, but in fact, in a file somewhere on a computer, which were calls that hadn't actually made it to the edited broadcast, that sort of thing. After a lot of consideration, the folks at Car Talk really did decide that it was time. So what they are doing, if you still can't get enough, and I would certainly understand that, is that they'll continue to provide the old shows on cartalk.com, and I'm sure also in your regular podcast apps and that sort of thing. That reminds me of something that Jane said that I think in my experience is not so true. She mentioned she doesn't think that older people are likely to do the internet. In my experience, and maybe this is because basically, the 70 and 80-year-olds invented computers. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are using it. They may occasionally need help from someone to, figure out how to put something on their iPad or something. But they're using the internet very heavily, and we hear a lot of comments from people of a certain age that are really pleased. I would say the influence on people not using the internet is often something different, which is that there are significant parts of our state where internet connection is not very good.
Right.
And so that's something for, policymakers and so on to figure out in communities. But that certainly is something and speaks to the incredible vitality of radio for people as a source of information in much of our state.
Well, let's do another quick email here. Michael email says, "When will Radio Lab return? It was a bright spot on Sunday afternoons."
Well, Radio Lab, they don't actually produce a lot of new shows. They do a lot of repeats. And maybe that was a factor in our seeing that it wasn't doing great in that time slot. So it's good to hear you're interested, and we'll look at some possibilities for that. And it's funny, a number of comments have related to either wanting us to carry something on the radio or wishing we wouldn't, both because of the availability of podcasts. And, there was for a long time, they would talk about the golden age of radio. And they meant the time which you hear on old time radio drama on the weekends on WPR. But I think that there's another golden age of audio, and we're in it right now. There's so much to listen to.
And we will keep listening. Mike, thanks so much for joining us on this day.
Great to be here.
Mike Crane is director of Wisconsin Public Radio. He joined us on this first day of the morning show in this time of transition following the retirement of Joy Cardine last Friday. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour of the morning show is produced by Bill Martins and Keely Boltina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer, and she provided technical direction. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Stay with us.